Ho ho happy Hameen holidays. As 2020 winds down with over 2.2 million downloads, the Hameen Army marches into 2021 with sights set on 3 million downloads and beyond. We'd like to thank you, the listeners and sponsors, for following and supporting us on all of Hameen Media Group affiliate channels as we continue to provide the very best variety of entertainment anywhere. Pro wrestling, movie reviews, TV show reviews, news, sports, conspiracy, and satire. We have everything for your listening or viewing pleasure. Add Hameen Media to all your favorite audio and video platforms. iTunes, Stitcher, iHeart, Twitch, and YouTube are just some of the many ways you can get your fill of all of the HMG content. And speaking of getting your fill, if you're cooking this holiday season, there's only one olive oil to use in all your delicious, delectable dishes, Zordos Artisan Greek Ultra Premium Olive Oil. This olive oil is not only the perfect ingredient for your festive feast, but Zordos Olive Oil makes the perfect gift for any foodie or fan of fantastic food. Head over to ZordosOliveOil.com and taste what the term ultra premium means. Now, after a good meal or to kickstart your morning, what's better than a cup of bro? The Coffee Broasters Russo's brand coffee is better than your average cup of Joe, bro. When checking out at thecoffeebroasters.com, use the promo code BRO5LB for a special price on a 5-pound bag of Russo's brand coffee. This deal is too good to pass up on, bro. Did somebody say deal? Well, Stevie Richards and ForceUSA.com have a deal for you. Are you looking to build a better you? How about the best custom home gym you can imagine? Force USA delivers sturdy, innovative, and versatile strength training equipment for home gyms and training studios alike. Enter promo code STEVIE5 for a special 0% financing offer at checkout. Also check out StevieRichardsFitness.com for a fantastic, affordable resistance band training program and yoga program. Choose from the 12 and 16 week program as well as a dynamic yoga program that will get you ready to burn off those calories after those huge holiday meals. If you're interested in a band new you for 2021 and years to come, Stevie Kick Start Your Health with Stevie Richards, fitness.com, ProWrestlingTees.com. Celebrate all of the Hameen Media personalities and independent pro wrestling stars by giving the gift of or grabbing up for yourself the coolest merch any wrestling fan desires. Again, head over to ProWrestlingTees.com and support indie wrestling today. Hey, infidels, do you want to become a Hameen Media Group operative? Then follow us at Hameen Media Group on Twitter and request a link to our private Discord channel. You can also find us on Facebook at Hameen Media Discussion Group and interact with all of the HMG personalities as well as joining in on the fun discussions, watch-along events, and games. You can also follow us on Instagram to like, comment, and participate on all of the HMG and Conspiracy Horseman propaganda. Once again, thank you to all of the subscribers, followers, sponsors, guests, producers, and host of Hameen Media as we march to 3 million downloads. All of this is possible because of you.
You must unlearn what you have learned.
Use the Force, Luke.
I want to learn the ways of the Force and become a Jedi like my father.
How rude!
Join me, and together we can rule the galaxy as father and son.
Key religions and ancient weapons are no match for a good blaster, if you say
so. It's a wonder you're still alive.
Don't give in to hate. That leads to the dark side.
Welcome, ladies, gentlemen, boys, girls, children that survived Order 66. Mandalorian, Twi'lex, all of Santa's little helpers who finally have some time off to enjoy a galaxy far, far away. And let's not forget the Transdotians, because this is an inclusive podcast. To another exciting, action-packed, fully stacked, totally jacked edition of the New Force Order
for Life
podcast. It's a Star Wars podcast. And if you guys did not realize that this is the Star Wars podcast on the 93rd episode, seven episodes away from number 100, I gotta just say one thing to you. There'll be no rebellion. Because you ain't got no goddamn hope, son!
Zero.
Zilch, goose egg, none! As much chance as,
I hear a Blake Troop coming joke. Hold on.
I wasn't going to say Blake Troop. I was actually going to go on Big Ray, but he kind of killed the moment, so sorry.
My bad.
You saved him. Anyway, I digress. My name is Greek God Papadon, your boy GGP, pro wrestler, and Star Wars aficionado.
To the Greek God.
And right next to me, even though physically he's not here, I feel his ghost in the room, the presence, the essence. Transcending from Mexico, big guy. First, hit him with a hey yo, and then let them know where you're from and who you are.
Hey yo, hey yo, hey yo, hey yo, hey yo, hey yo.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am the Dark Lord of the podcast, the Sith Fury, the Rampaging Reverend Kiss, the Butcher, the most disgruntled Star Wars fan in the galaxy. Your boy Spiro.
And last, but definitely not least, because he's number one in your heart. He is the man with the kung fu grip. The man who not only loves to collect toys, but likes to show it off in your face because his collection is worth more than your entire house. He's my buddy. He's your buddy. He's everybody's buddy. But be careful, because while he's your buddy, he'll be stealing your girl. But most importantly, this pretty witty son of a bitch will be stealing your thunder. Smarten him up, kid.
I am smarter than 21B, more technical than FX7, the god of stealing thunder. And the man who, no, has not forget that yesterday was the 2-4-year anniversary, not two, of Princess Leia, Carrie Fisher dying. God rest her soul, lovely woman. Dr. Destroyo, Alex Arroyo.
Way to bring down the intro, kid.
Sorry, man. Listen, you got to represent the princess, baby.
Yes, you do. I just saw a clip of, and I never really watched the show. I've seen a few episodes here and there of Big Bang Theory.
Yeah.
And they did an episode where James Earl Jones pranks Carrie Fisher by ringing the doorbell and running.
Yes, that was actually a pretty funny one.
You know what? Why don't we show the people out there in podcast land hear the clip right about now?
Whose house is this?
Carrie Fisher, and she's a little crazy, so get ready to run.
And she showed up, and we learned that Carrie and James Earl Jones have never met in real life, because in Star Wars, James was in a sound booth doing Darth Vader and had never been to the set.
And we had a very, little scene that was, let it bounce off each other.
It's not funny anymore, James!
Then why am I laughing?
As they were approaching each other, Carrie said, "Dad!" Which was hilarious because Darth is her father in Star Wars, so.
It was sweet. It was finally good to meet her.
Yeah, I thought it was hilarious. And the funny thing is, before they filmed that episode, they never met in real life. You believe that?
Carrie Fisher and James Earl Jones?
Yeah, because he did everything in a soundstage, in a sound studio. So on the set, crazy. She saw him and walked up and said, "Dad!" I was like, holy shit.
That's even funnier. Wow.
Yeah. So, Doc.
Yes, Papa
everybody, Don. And everybody out there, ho, 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 Merry Christmas. We're about to embark on a new year. May 2021 be a lot better than 2020.
God, please.
Please, oh God almighty. If you let Joey Tell and Alvin Alvarez live this long, please make 2021 a better year.
Oh shit, for Christ's sake. Speaking about Joey Tell, apparently you son of a bitch, gave my
who, me?
Yeah, you, my fiance, one of the funniest ideas I've seen all month. You know, frequently my fiance goes to Papa Don to ask him what I want for Christmas. He said, how about you get him a Joe Attell signed 8x10? And she went and did it. It was terrible. Get in the fight. I opened it up. I popped the loudest for that Christmas day. So
did you really?
I did. And then I had to inform her that Joe Attell has blocked me on all social media for years now. He's actually like over 2 years now. He hasn't been blocked. So then she messaged him and was like, hey, you know, he's blocked. He was all pissy. The guy said something to him about, I don't know, when he broke his leg or something. And then he unblocked me and messaged me. And then I said, I promptly sent him a Facebook marketplace of someone who was selling silicone ears. If you know Joe Attell, he has his misformed ear. And he was like, oh, great. We're doing this shit again. I'm like, what do you think is going to happen? I'm trying to get blocked now.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. I love it. Well, Doc, since last episode, we smartened up the fans to the gift that you gave me for Christmas, which is a custom figure, GGP figure, made by your hands and your sweat and your hard work and your tears.
And hell yeah.
Which was well done and well received on social media to the point where I've gotten numerous amounts of offers for buying a figure because they want it. There's a demand in the market now for GGP figures. We are trying to find some way to mass produce them. So if anyone out there knows anybody who can make this happen, they know a toy distributor, a toy producer, tell them to hit us up at newforceorder@yahoo.com. But Doc, why don't you smarten up the fans, all five of them, on what your lovely fiance, your baby mama, got you for Christmas?
So we talked about it briefly on the show at one point, and of course Papa Don is the master of picking up on subtle hints, let my wife know that I'm in the market for a piece that our friend Nick Malley, who runs the That Yoda Guy Museum in St. Martin, was selling off to kind of keep the museum alive, and it was a script, an actual script page, not a facsimile, not a photocopy, of Empire Strikes Back, the Star Wars movie, mounted and signed by David Prowse and Nick Malley himself, along with a photo of the scene in question, which was potentially one of the most pivotal scenes in Empire Strikes Back, where Vader and Luke are having their face-off in Cloud City. And it was right after Vader had told him that he was the father, unlike Bori. And he's asking Luke to join them so they could run the galaxy as father and son. And Luke tells him, no, never, and then falls down the shaft. So that page of the script is in my hands. And it was the script, I think, of one of the set directors or something. It says it on the back of the person who he got the script page from. Authenticated, original, not a facsimile, like I said before. Signed by the late great, you know, this month, David Prowse. All for the low price of $1,500 that she paid for it, despite the fact that she tried to chop him down on price, but he was not budging, which was the story.
Chop him down with the edge of my hand.
It was pretty funny that she tried to chop the price down. This poor guy who's literally trying to keep the lights on at the museum in St. Martin because COVID has kind of fucked him over. But it's a dope piece. I'm gonna go get it framed hopefully this week, likely tomorrow from my framing guy that I have, who does really fantastic work in Brooklyn.
The Kosher Queen, Sensational Sharon, could not use her Jedi magic tricks. No. Her Jedi mind tricks.
You mean her Judai mind tricks? was unsuccessful.
Oh, God, that's tremendous. I love that story. He'll never die.
It's a really hilarious story. It really sums her up pretty well.
Have you smartened her up about me telling you about the story?
I alluded to it to her, but I didn't tell it the way you tell it. So she's trying to Jew him down. This is why I take her when I got to go buy a new car. I'll lease a new car. I take her with me and I just wind her up and let her go because she does not play around, man. And I'm going next month to get a new car too. So it's going to be fun.
Nice. Anything in particular you're looking to get?
I have no idea. We'll see what happens. I got to get back my other one first.
I know a guy who's selling a Corellian freighter.
Yeah. Is it a YT whatever?
Yeah, and it did the Kessel run in 12 parsecs.
I'll win that in the Sipbok game, don't worry.
Nice.
Hey, we got real nerdy dudes.
Yes, we did. Well, listen, another week has passed. Not much news has come out this week, but we'll try to make the best out of it. Like our Sith Lord likes to say, we'll make some fucking soup salad out of chicken shit.
Always.
And we'll entertain the masses. And hopefully you guys will end up 2020 strong with another great episode of this podcast.
Yeah, baby. We're leading into that new year, which, you know, COVID's going to be gone and we'll have a new president and we'll all get $2,000 somewhere down the line. You know, it's going to be great.
Oh, man. What a shit show that was, huh?
Anyhow, God.
We'll talk off air about that. I don't want to talk about that.
Anyway, speaking of nerds, hold on a second. I want to leave the show with this story that popped up. So we talked about last week, we spoke about the extremely fantastic YouTube channel, Star Wars Theory. And apparently the guy's name is Twos. Did you know his name was Twos? I don't know.
I had no idea what his name was.
Yeah, but apparently it's Twos. So we talked about his reaction to the Mandalorian season finale to see Luke Skywalker, how he had that really intense breakdown moment where he gave that big old ugly cry because he was just flooded with emotion. Some people give him shit about it.
I say something real quick?
Please.
I don't know if the fans heard it last episode or first-time listeners. I personally felt it was awesome that he gave out a genuine emotion in front of 30,000 people in a viewing party that he did in the last chapter, chapter 16 of The Mandalorian. So, anyway, continue.
So he, like you said, uploaded that. He had live for 30,000 people, uploaded to his YouTube channel. It's about 15 minutes long of him watching that last scene, seeing Luke, and really getting emotional. And apparently it had gotten to Pablo Hidalgo, who is one of the higher-ups at Lucasfilm, who decided to – now, listen, he's backtracked, as everybody does on the internet, but take a jab at him and say some, you know, mean things about showing emotion. You know, we shouldn't be showing emotion about things like this. And Star Wars Theory kind of clapped back and was like, listen, you know, you guys put these things out here to show emotion for this. It's exactly what it's for. And now you're telling us not to show emotion, not to be vested in your characters, in your story, in your world. That doesn't make any sense. So Hidalgo put the post down, and then he had posted the tweet that he had put as his wall and his Twitter account, but he's private, and Theory had to get screenshots. It went back and forth for a while. And apparently, like, you know, the thing that was supposed to join us together now has kind of now, again, similar to The Last Jedi, put this rift in the Star Wars fandom, because Star Wars Theory has a shit ton of people who follow him on social media and on YouTube. So I think everybody, again, you know, the masses are again losing their mind about Lucasfilm and Disney. Thoughts, Pop?
I think it's a sad day when you have an executive in a company reach out and make fun of a viewer praising the product that your company put out. For this individual to say that emotion should not be shared is ridiculous. It's unprofessional. It's unethical. And to me, it's just down stupid on his part. Definitely bad for business. From what I heard, it's not the first time this has happened. And then, like you said, when the shit hit the fan, he decided to post something. I wish to clarify that my post that emotions are not to be shared was sarcastic self-mockery and was certainly not intended to be hurtful to anyone, and I'm deeply sorry that it was. As a lifelong fan, I appreciate fans expressing how they feel. It's what being a fan is about. Well, no shit, Sherlock. And if that was the actual fucking case, you should have shut your fucking mouth up. You know, I personally don't know Theory. He's buddied up with our former friend, Josh from Den of Nerds. Reached out to Josh a couple of times in the last couple of months to say hello. Fucking guy's been treating me like the fat girl at the end of the bar. He hasn't responded. So I don't know if the guy got a new number or what. But if anyone hears this podcast and knows Josh, tell him to fucking hit up the NFO, because I also tweeted Star Wars Theory and commended him. Commended him on showing his emotions and act like a real man, you know. And anybody who makes fun of somebody for being emotional about a certain subject matter or whatever the case may be and tries to belittle them for it is just a bully. And I hate bullies. You know, considering I'm always playing the heel and the asshole in wrestling, I really do hate bullies. And to me, this motherfucker, if it was the other way around, if it was some Trump supporter doing it or somebody who was a conservative values like Gina Carano, who decided to post her personal opinion, she gets crucified. This guy picks on him and no one bats an eye.
Yeah, let's cancel Pablo Hidalgo. Come on.
You know what I'm saying? Let's do it. I don't give a fuck. You know what I'm saying?
Fuck
it was wrong. Fuck him. That's right. And we told him the NFL got his back as far as Theory goes. And hopefully they discuss this and work things out. But, you know, in actuality, you know, it's uncalled for. Because they took something that meant so much to an individual and now they soured it for him. Because now it's always going to be that incident's always going to have that black mark on it for that individual. You know what I'm saying? And it's always going to be now looked at purely when it should be. Because it was the redemption of Luke Skywalker for many people. It was what they've been dying to see since they were little kids. And personally, you don't know what an individual goes through. You don't know what I have to go through. You don't know what Doc has to go through. You don't know what Spiro has to go through. You don't know what our producer Matt Schaefer has to go through. Or even our fourth member who is usually on the Mandalorian shows, Rohit Raju Hakim Zayn, what he has to go through in life and how Star Wars helped him get through it. From what I understand, this kid, I don't know if it's true or not, but Star Wars Theory had some sort of cancer and Star Wars helped him overcome it. So yeah. If that is the case and this guy decided to make fun of him, dude, come on, man. That's just not only is it wrong, but as a human being, it just shows you what type of piece of shit you are. Sitting in your high horse thinking you're better than everybody because you're working for the mouse that runs the house or Lucasfilm when you should be praising this guy for showing you his love, his admiration, and his emotions, you know, on air when he doesn't have to because he knows he's going to get ridiculed for it. Instead of praising him for being truthful, you're ridiculing him. And to me, that's wrong, dude. He should be fired. He should be reprimanded for his actions because that's not right. You know what I'm saying? All these people, like our friend, Luke Skywalker, all these other people who cosplay in Star Wars, and they go help the 6 kids in the hospital, and they go raise money for Ronald McDonald's House and St. Jude's and all these great charities for children, doing all this work because of Star Wars. And then you're going to have someone in Star Wars make fun of a guy because he emotionally cried on air because he's a grown man? We all fucking cried. We all had a tear in our eye when that happened. He just decided to show it to everybody. We talked about it. He showed it. So to kudos to him. And maybe I'm overselling this situation, but it really, what was that term? Put a scud in my scuffle butt or whatever yeah. She said. Whatever Kara said.
Scuffle in my scuffle. I don't know. One of those things.
Oh, put it this way. He pissed in the mashed potatoes. I wasn't happy.
I think it's pissing the cornflakes or stuck your dick in the mashed potatoes. I think that's the one.
Either which way, he should have stayed home. You know what I'm saying? Not come to the party. Listen, you know, and
it's hard to fucking comment on shit like that if you're a higher up at Lucasfilm. I mean, you know, it's going to get back to them. You know, you're going to get raked over the fucking coals. Why bother?
Yeah, but you know, it's not the first time, from what I understand, people at Lucasfilm or anyone affiliated with Star Wars has went after the fans, like Rian Johnson did at one point.
Yep.
You know, Spiro's favorite director. What do you think about Rian Johnson, Spiro?
Fuck Kathleen Kennedy. Fuck Rian Johnson. Neither of them should ever be involved with Star Wars ever again. And if that happens, I'm going to march my ass right up to the front doors of Disney. I'm going to kick down the doors, and I'm going to lay the smack of down on both the candy asses.
Hey, brother, you're entitled to your opinion. to say that you might be right or wrong is not my place. But Spiro, it is what it is. And for anybody who makes fun of anybody in this world for just being true to themselves is an asshole. And in my opinion, Pablo Hidalgo, you're an asshole. So take that and put in your cornflakes or put that in your pipe and smoke it, kid. And if you have a problem, you can hit up the NFL. We can talk about it like men, as opposed to tweeting on it, about it behind someone's back, not even tagging him on the post, being a man, making fun of someone behind their back like a little girl on social media. Anyhow.
Well, he was private. Exactly. He had to get the screenshots through other people who had followed him. So interesting. You know, I thought it was one of the those stories that was going to stick this week.
Well, you know, this all started because of Luke. No, not Luke from Two Life Crew, you know, but Luke Skywalker. You know him. I know him. A lot of people know him. Some people say he's the actual face that runs the place as far as Star Wars goes. And over the...
Speaking of over!
Damn, he got me. The reaction and the impact the end of Mandalorian Chapter 16 had on the internet, on the Star Wars fandom, on pop culture as a whole was tremendous. So tremendous, Doctor. They're talking about that scene is the start of redemption arc for Luke Skywalker, and that they're looking to maybe having a Disney Plus series on Disney Plus regarding a young Luke between 6 and 7. According to this article, they need Luke Skywalker to be back, redeemed, and a Jedi Master fans want him to be. Toy manufacturers need Luke Skywalker back. Marketing needs Luke Skywalker back. Game developers need Luke back. Now, what do you guys? What do you? Oh, hold on a second. There's more in the sequel trilogy. It will be retcon. Oh, yeah, we'll start speculation. So, hey, what do you think so far?
This is what we've been saying forever. I mean, this makes the most sense. If they want to get Star Wars back to where it needs to be, to where it should be, I think Luke is the key. You know, these old OT trilogy characters are going to be the ones that are going to bring them back out of the slump that they've been in. And now, because Star Wars is as hot as it's ever been with The Mandalorian, and now with the reintroduction of Luke Skywalker, this is where they need to go. This is where they need to be. But the question is, though, you know, who's going to play Luke in all this stuff like this? So there was another article that had popped out earlier that kind of dovetails on this one. So I'll mention it here, is that the fact that they had a guy who they had casted as Luke Skywalker for The Force Awakens in scenes that they never had used. It was supposed to be some flashback scenes that Rey was having to see Luke Skywalker. And they had casted an actor into that role who looked somewhat like Luke Skywalker. And they did some mock-ups for him, but they never used it. So the question is, why did they decide to use the you know, / deepfake technology on Luke and not use this guy? And will they use this guy in the future? I don't recall the actor's name.
Robert Bolter.
There you go, Robert Bolter. It wasn't Sebastian Stan. But the guy definitely looks enough like Mark Hamill to kind of probably pull it off.
Well, so did this guy, Max Lloyd-Jones. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, he was a little prettier, a little more of a Sears catalog version of Mark Hamill. Even in Mark Hamill's pretty days, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. When he looked like he belonged in the Monkees.
Say haircut.
Yes. But whatever they decide to do, whether it's deepfake technology or Sebastian Stan coming in and taking over the role, people are going to be happy. They just want the Luke that they've been hoping and chomping at the bits for the last 40 years to come back and make some kind of impact, some kind of splash that they need him to make before he gets old, disgruntled, and old in Ahch-To. To the point where people are speculating now that in the sequel trilogy, it will be retconned so that Luke's actions are being in hiding, pretending to hate the Jedi, et cetera, are all an act to protect Grogu from being found by the dark side, including protecting him from Rey. Luke couldn't bring himself to burn the books that he believed would place Grogu in danger, even though he knew it must be done. So Yoda, in Force Ghost form, had to do it for him. Grogu is a new type of Jedi that unites dark and light, with Anakin and Luke both training him somehow. Anakin will also be retconned to actually have brought balance to the Force, etc. Now, that's pure speculation. I don't buy it. It's too much of a retcon for them to try to sneak the little guy through the doors, in my opinion. But you know what did come to pass? That Mark Hamill, you know him, right?
Never heard of him.
Well, two things about Mark Hamill. Number one, better late than never, he finally made it to Tosche Station to get his power converters. He posted a picture of him standing in front of a gas station that said Tosche, and he was holding a power converter. And that's why I think he is a national treasure and a joy and a delight when he does stuff like this, because I popped huge when I saw the picture.
Yeah, I saw it too. I thought it was really good tongue-in-cheek stuff. Obviously, I don't know if he had that, you know, made or somebody photoshopped it, but I thought it was pretty hilarious. And you know, listen, the guy, he's got a voice, and he's not afraid to talk on Twitter about a lot of different things. And you may not agree with his politics. You may not agree with a lot of things that he says, but he's fucking entertaining.
Oh, he's definitely entertaining. And, you know, he's very humble. And he's a fan, which is something that adds so much mileage to what an actor does with his craft in any genre. So much that John Favreau, a.k.a. Johnny Favs, confirmed that Mark Hamill was on set and did contribute to the final scene in Mandalorian. And it wasn't just all Max Lloyd-Jones. Even though he did double for the Jedi doing some of the physicality stuff, nothing was said exactly verbatim as to what parts Luke did play, except we know they used his face, they used his voice, and allegedly he stood in place when he was talking to Mandalorian. That was Mark Hamill.
Yeah, he was doing the acting portion of that whole thing. They said that, you know, the interactive scenes between him and Pedro Pascal was Mark Hamill, which I think is great. Listen, it's smart for Favreau to do that. And if you watch the first episode of the Disney Gallery for the season 2 of Mandalorian, like, you could see all of that stuff come to fruition. You see George Lucas on set talking to Rosario Dawson. You see Tamora Morrison doing his little, you know, haka dance over there.
How great was that?
That was fantastic.
I love that. He's 59 years old.
Dude, 60 fucking years old. He's going to be in a month. He's fucking craziness. What's even more crazy is that Min Wing Na, who plays Fennec Shand, is 57 years old.
Oh, man.
57 years old. That woman looks amazing. That I couldn't believe. Forget fucking, what's his face? Tamora Morrison. 57 Fennec Shand? Holy shit, lady. Asian don't raise him, baby. Give it up.
Asian don't raise him. Listen, Tamora, when you take off the, like when they were talking to him in that exclusive, and he didn't have all the makeup on, he still looked just as young as he did 20 years ago, except he's bald now.
Hell yeah.
So all that scarring and damage that made him look old, withered, and grizzled was just makeup. It wasn't him being old.
Maori don't get wary? Can I say that? I don't know.
Sure. You can make it up on the fly.
How fantastic, before you go on there, would it be, you know that tweet from Mark Hamill that we kept going back to, where he's like, I'm done playing Luke Skywalker. I'm hanging up. I will never play Luke Skywalker again. That he tweeted like 8 months ago or 9 months ago after the Rise of Skywalker. How fucking great if he tweeted that from the set of The Mandalorian. That would be the greatest troll on the planet.
Listen, you're right. It would be fantastic. Because supposedly the Ahsoka Tano, like all the shit that leaked, it wasn't leaked. It was let out on purpose.
Yeah.
As a misdirection to make sure they keep this a secret. You can't outwork a worker.
Typical government tactics right there. There you go.
Exactly. But the premise that I'm about to state, I stated it last show. I've stated it in the past. We will get more entertainment, whether it's cameo appearance. We will either get a show or we will get a series of movies or a one movie of Luke Skywalker. And it will be helmed by the Russo brothers, probably produced by Kevin Feige. And whether if it starts Sebastian Stan or Mark Hamill, I can care less. I rather it's Mark Hamill, the age. Give him one more run with the character before he gives it up for good. And then give it to Sebastian Stan. But if they don't and they give it to Sebastian Stan because Mark Hamill just can't do it, that's fine. You know, it is what it is. Or they could do Sebastian Stan, but, you know, you don't even have to CGI the face about Sebastian Stan because he looks so much like him. That's the good thing. That's it's just the voice. Right, you know, it's just the voice. But, again, that's all pure speculation. I called. Hey, there she is.
Well, Papa Don, say hello to you, babe. Hi.
Oh, hi.
My wife has jumped in. You break your glasses again?
Well, no. Grayson broke them, but the glue.
All right. Put it over here. I'll fix them. Thank you. Leave it on the doctor's table. Give me it. You're getting me a minute. Put it down. Thank you.
Okay. Sorry. Back to regular schedule programming.
Tell her you charge her by the hour. She can't haggle you down.
Papa Don said you can't haggle down the price. She popped.
So we were saying, like I was saying before, I was going to segue to this. 10 things you didn't know that happened to Luke Skywalker between episodes 5, Empire Strikes Back, and episode 6, Return of the Jedi. Do you want to take the reins because you're a big Luke mark like myself, or you want me to
go for it, man? You got it open.
Number 10 starts to give in to anger. Almost immediately after Empire Strikes Back ends, Luke and his friends have to escape from Cloud City. During the escape, Luke took control of the Millennium Falcon's guns to try to defend the ship. His missing hand caused trouble and caused Luke to have trouble. This caused Luke to feel extremely frustrated, destroying all of the attacking fighters. He also felt more frustration as he tried to contact Yoda, who did not respond. So he pulled a Josh. He no-sold him. Luke felt angry that Yoda would not respond and also destroyed a window in the flagship. Did you know that, Doc?
Mm-hmm. He smashed a window with his little hand.
Come on, go ahead.
And nobody got sucked out of the airlock, which is amazing.
Wow, that's
all nope. And my wife just showed me her tits off camera to try to get a reaction out of me.
Nice.
I'll be back in a second. Hold on.
Geez. Number 9, practice with his new hand. Hey, Doc, speaking about it. We'll be back in a second. Luke gets a prosthetic arm at the end of Empire Strikes Back. With the movie ending before he really uses the arm, Luke was in a bad mental state at the time, but Leia convinced him to practice using his new hand. It's like the Stranger. While Lando and Chewbacca are searching for Han, that doesn't make any sense. They know where he's at. He's on Tatooine.
Maybe they were looking for, Boba Fett ship. I don't know.
Boba Fett?
Where?
Luke practices using blasters. Lando comes back and sees Luke practicing, convincing Luke to search for his old lightsaber. So they went back, number 8, they went back to Cloud City. Luke left training to go to Cloud City once, but he is convinced to go back by Lando to find his lightsaber. The rebels split up when they get to the city, but Luke cannot find his lightsaber at the smelting chamber. After searching for a bit, Luke senses that his friends are in trouble. Luke finds Lando surrounded by stormtroopers and defends his friends once again. Luke force pushes the stormtroopers through the window. The group rescues a couple of Cloud City citizens, and Luke gets his X-Wing back, which makes sense, right? Because he pulled up to Cloud City in his X-Wing. He never left. You know what I mean? So that's a nice little plot hole they fixed. Number 7, Luke meets with Verla. No, not Mike Verna. Verla.
Mike Verla?
They went out for some fucking space cannolis.
Yeah. Listeners, full disclosure, most of the stuff happens in the comic book. So.
Oh, it's all in the comics. Before heading to Cloud City, Luke has a vision of a hooded figure. Luke goes to search for this figure after leaving Cloud City for a second time. This person is revealed to be Verla, who tells Luke about Order 66, Inquisitors, and Darth Vader. Luke becomes worried, and Verla probes his mind, learning he's Darth Vader's son. This causes Verla to try to kill Luke. Luckily, R2-D2 saves Luke and incapacitates Verla. He tries to convince Luke. Incapacitates Verla. He tries to convince Luke to give up the Force, but tells him about an old Jedi outpost on another planet. 6, Luke fought the Grand Inquisitor spirit. After learning about the Jedi outpost from Verla, Luke flies to this location. He's confronted by the Grand Inquisitor from Rebels, who was once a Jedi guard, who was forced to guard the temple by Darth Vader. Luke fights the Inquisitor, cutting its hand off and slashing its chest. Vader sensed the skirmish, ordering his ship to head towards the planet. Luke luckily escapes the planet before Vader arrives. Vader berated the Inquisitor for allowing Luke to escape, leaving the spirit to roam the outpost. Number five, Luke used a yellow lightsaber, just like the action figure, Doc.
Yep.
After losing his lightsaber at Cloud City, Luke needed to find a new one. When he makes it to the old Jedi outpost, he finds a yellow lightsaber to fight the Inquisitor spirit we just spoke about. Luke takes the lightsaber with him, and he leaves the planet and uses it as his new weapon. He returns to the Rebels and meets with his sister Leia. Leia tells Luke to show the Rebels what he's found, and Luke activates the saber. When the Rebels see the yellow blade, they feel renewed hope.
Ooh. Yeah, okay.
Number four, Luke became Red Leader again. After Luke gets his new lightsaber, Wedge Antilles becomes a squadron leader of the Red Squadron. This pleases Luke, but he declines when asked to rejoin the squad. Luke asks to...
You don't want to squad up? What happened?
No, I don't want to squad up. Luke asks to be stationed on a flagship, but he becomes Red Leader again at later time. The Empire attacks the Rebels, causing Luke to lead the squadron into battle. Luke takes the call sign Red Leader again as he fights against the Empire. When the Rebels get the upper hand, Luke leaves the battle to defend his sister's ship. Luke takes part in a raid on the Imperial refining platform. The Rebel team flies away from the platform. TIE fighters attack the group. Luke and the Rebel Major distract the attacking TIE fighters, allowing the rest of the team to escape. Number two, had mind penetrated by the Emperor. Did you know about this? I've been every voice that you have heard inside your head.
I have been every voice
you have ever heard inside your head.
Hello there.
You know what? I got that. That was from the movie, Doc. During the attack on the Imperial refining platform, the Emperor penetrates Luke's mind and probes his mental defenses. This causes Luke to freak out, thinking someone with the Force is near him. Luke sees a vision of the Emperor, causing Luke to crash into an unknown planet. The Emperor showed Luke a series of events that could occur, freaking Luke out. Luke resists the Emperor's powers, returning to help the Rebel group. Was this the part where the Emperor messed with his mind that he could have had a family, leave the rebellion and all that stuff?
I don't know if that was the part. Okay, I don't know if this was then, because that was a while ago, right?
Or was that part, was that between 4 and 5?
I think that was between 4 and 5.
Number one, Luke created his green lightsaber. When Luke is ready to rescue Han Solo, he travels to Tatooine. Before he heads to the rescue, Luke stops by Obi-Wan's old home, finds materials to build a new lightsaber. Luke heads to the desert cave and starts to construct the lightsaber. He uses the Force to assemble the lightsaber. While constructing the weapon, Luke brings the kyber crystals to life, truly making the lightsaber his own. So those are the 10 things that Luke did between episodes 5 and 6.
It's a lot of things there. And as Spiro said, the 10 shit that Disney is pretending that he did.
Well, the green lightsaber, I mean...
Well, obviously we know that one.
And then the X-Wing kind of makes sense because he left it at Cloud City.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
So it's not all that bad.
No, they're filling in this, you know, this canon in between Empire and Jedi. And do we need it? No. Is it fun and is it exciting? Can we see it happening? Of course we can. And I think that's a lot of what this is about. It's Disney, you know, cashing in on their property and doing what they need to do with it to make it still relevant. Because people want to hear these stories. The interesting thing is that Marvel did a lot of this in the 70s and the 80s when they had their own comic, because they needed stories in between then and there. So obviously all that stuff's not canon anymore, and they're just trying to, you know, again, go to the well again to redo things like this to give us stories that are going to quench our Star Wars thirst.
Yeah, but, I mean, the Star... Okay. Like we just mentioned, he got his X-Wing back. All right, cool. He made his lightsaber. We saw that in the deleted scene. Cool.
Yeah.
How he made his lightsaber by going to Obi-Wan's hut and finding some stuff there, I thought that's pretty cool. Considering that the green lightsaber handle kind of looks a lot like Obi-Wan's handle, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Him seeing a vision of Rolo catching a lightsaber and everyone thinking it was actual somebody catching a lightsaber.
Somebody important.
Yeah, I thought it was stupid. Yeah. I think they should have played that off and spun that off into the story on how Maz Kanata got the saber, as opposed to some Ugnut finding it. And now people don't know how it went from the Ugnut to Maz Kanata.
Yeah, well, if they're smart, you know, they're just setting stuff up to continue the story from there. So because obviously that's one of the big things that we need to know from the sequel trilogy is what happened with Maz Kanata and her saber. So I can't imagine that they're going to just let that one sit there and not do anything with it. So it's probably going to be coming at some point.
But there's a lot of stuff like that. Like, all right, he has a yellow saber. What happened to the yellow saber?
Yep. We're going to find out, I guess.
What was the point? There has to be some kind of payoff why he wanted to make a green saber. What happened to the yellow saber?
Did he just... Yellow and blue make green. Oh.
No, look at that. Deep cut.
Look at that.
Speaking of Maz Kanata.
And speaking of Maz Kanata.
And that story of another time, you know, about the saber. Did you know there was more stories involved with episode 7?
No, really? Come on.
Stuff that was not used?
I can't believe it. A movie has stuff on the cutting room floor? Preposterous.
Well, remember the author that wrote Splinter of a Mind's Eye?
Dean Allen Foster? Dean something? What's his name?
Yes. He was a ghostwriter, Dean Allen Foster. Alan Dean Foster.
Ghost Rider Motorcycle Hero. Ghost Rider Motorcycle Hero.
He revealed that he cut a romantic plot line involving Finn and Rey. From the novelization,
Ray!
Star Wars: The Force Awakens.
Interesting. So there was a love thing going on there between Rin and Faye, Finn and Rey.
That they cut
out of there. Ooh, I wonder why they did that. And that was super early on during this process because that was episode 7. So,
Well, supposedly there was also. Luke Skywalker stories that were supposed to be part of episode 7 as well. Not episode 7. In Aftermath, Chuck Wendig had some stories and some tidbits involving Luke Skywalker, and they told him to cut it out of the book too.
Yeah, well, because, you know, obviously they're saving Luke for the big payoff.
But I don't know, dude. I honestly think that Mark Hamill may have rubbed Kathleen Kennedy the wrong way sometime earlier on, you know, in the career, to where now she's getting revenge and she doesn't want to do the right thing by the fans.
So? Oh, this is all just her getting back at him.
I mean, come on, dude. I mean, under her guidance, under her watch, everything involving Luke has been done horribly for that character. You know what I'm
maybe,
saying?
Maybe, so, just maybe this is what potentially caused a rift between the Filoni section and the Kathleen Kennedy section. Maybe they were like, hey, we want to bring Luke back. And she's like, absolutely not. And then all of a sudden, everybody's beefing about it.
I mean, that's speculation. And we might have got something. But, I mean, look at it. He wasn't in 7. They did him wrong in 8. Right? In 9, he was only a Force ghost. The guy had maybe, what, 10 minutes total? Maybe 15 minutes total in the sequel trilogy?
If that...
About a Skywalker saga, and he's an actual Skywalker? You know, just... I don't know, man. I think there's more to read between the lines, and I'm not looking for it either, like some kind of conspiracy theorist. I'm just saying...
okay.
No, I'm being serious. I mean, like, yeah, we were all for the sequel trilogy, and I still am for the sequel trilogy, but just... You know, just it's not. There's something there that's not being said. You know, do you remember? Do you remember in the special about season 2 of Mandalorian, the one that just came out?
The first episode, which I fell asleep on, by the way, because I was fucking exhausted when I was watching it, but I kind of watched it in pieces.
What was that called again, the show?
Gallery, Disney Gallery.
The galleries, right? Remember the part where they were discussing about Filoni and Favreau about Din Djarin shooting out the light in the first episode and yelling out McClunky?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, no, that's what Greedo says. And then Favreau's like, yeah, you know, he says that he's walking away and he shoots out lights out, you know? And then they point at each other. They laugh subliminally about like almost like an inside joke.
Yeah.
I got the feeling they were talking about some inside baseball there between the camps. You know, like McClunky lights out, like this is the season that's going to be the nail in the coffin.
You think so, huh?
I don't know, bro.
You man, let me tell you, you are the fucking king of looking at shit and being like, or just reading into it for different pieces.
I mean, why else would that be on air for McClunky? You know what I'm saying? Like,
I just thought it was an interesting moment between the two of them. That's all.
What was so interesting about it, the fact that they were talking about a word McClunky that was used anyway by Boba Fett. By Bib Fortuna in the post credit scene. And then on top of that, I don't know, maybe it was just them having fun, but the whole gallery 65-minute episode was them having fun. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe I'm reading a little bit too much into it. Maybe I'm not. But, you know, do you know why the Mandalorian was called Huckleberry during filming?
Why it was called Huckleberry? Yes, I saw that when they did that. And they said that I think it's all speculation for people who are kind of reading into it, that, you know, The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn is one of the, you know, great classic novels of Americana. And they were trying to allude to it, that it's going to be that as well. Or they used the phrase from the movie Tombstone, I'll be your Huckleberry, for some, I don't know, weird reason, whatever. But they also talked about shows using their pseudonym, you know, their fake name as eventual canon into the show. Like when they talked about Doctor Who and
who?
When they were filming that, you know, that new season of Doctor Who, they use the moniker Torchwood, which is an anagram for Doctor Who, actually, if you rearrange the letters, as the production name. And then they wind up using Torchwood as something inside the series as well, as one of, like, you know, one of the plot devices in the series, whatever it was. But
question, weren't you, yes, were you upset that they used the word Torchwood?
Why would I be upset they used the word Torchwood?
Because wasn't Operation Torchwood that code name you had for that threesome with those two Vietnamese hookers that gave you
didn't I tell you not to talk about the burning?
Yeah, burning when it pees, the aftermath of that?
Didn't we talk about this
already? They torched your wood for sure.
Yeah, no shit. I still don't think they were women, but whatever.
Hey, man. It was like that scene in what was the bachelor party movie with the...
The Hangover?
The Hangover 3. Stu, I was in you. We came together. It was beautiful.
It's so terrible.
Come on, Stu. It was beautiful. We climaxed at the same time.
How does that work?
Shoot my load into you. Shoot your load on the floor.
Okay. Yeah, you're loading me. My bottom. Oh, God.
Hello, gay boy. did you know that your boy, Boba Fett? Boba Fett? Boba Fett, where?
Boba Fett? Boba Fett? Where?
Was missing two key details in his armor.
I did. And it was an interesting
Well, can I interject for a second?
Yes, interject, my friend.
This story was so like picking at minor details that it is a slow news week, that this actually made headlines. But anyway, go on.
And we're talking about it. So when Boba emerged from the what's the ship called? The Razor Crest that I spent money on. he was
money, 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 money.
Everybody's got a price. Everybody's gonna pay.
He was missing a few key details for his costume. One of them was the cape that he pals around with, that we've seen him have in the back of his armor, draping off the left side by the Mandalorian crest. So it was missing, which I guess it makes sense, because if he fell into the Sarlacc, the first thing that's probably going to get digested is going to be cloth. So I can imagine his cape, which, as they stated in the article, if you watch The Incredibles, is more of a liability than anything else, because
no capes.
He'll get caught in a wind tunnel and or up an airplane or something and fuck you up. So the cape was gone, which I was okay. But you know, you have to realize that Mando has a cape as well. So is he going to step on Mando's tails if Mando's wearing a little cape and flipped over his shoulder? Probably not. So that's probably why they gave it to Mando. But the other thing he's missing, which has kind of escaped this whole is it canon, is it not canon kind of thing, is the braids that he had draped over his right shoulder, which we've seen in the past before. There was at least two of them. I know that. Maybe there's a third one. Where's my Boba figure? I'm going to count them on my Boba figure. Hold on a second. Yes, it does appear that there's three braids there. So we'll touch you this time.
Three.
Consequently, the amount of world championships you hold right now. So the braids were missing as well, which also probably, you know, went the way of the Sarlacc. But those braids have always been, you know, the subject of some controversy as to what they're from and how he obtained them. So if you look at the I guess, somewhat canon story, because they haven't decanonized it completely, is that they were Wookiee pelts that he had gotten, Wookiee scalps that he had gotten and put on his head, which, you know, puts Boba in a very deep, deep, dark place. If you want to talk about that. But then I remember when episode one came out that people were talking about, well, maybe they are Padawan braids that he had obtained from himself, which they did not mention in this article. So that's also a story that's rolling around there. But both those were missing in Boba's costume.
Again, slow news week. I was a little upset they weren't talking about the cod piece.
Yeah, I was going to fail to mention that as well, which was a meme that was going around, is that there was a shot of the original armor of Boba Fett and his cod piece, you know, which protects his crotch. Little Boba Fett had a dent in it. And you know, someone had pointed out that, you know, clearly at some point in canon, someone had to shoot Boba Fett in the dick, and that dent was put there by that. So someone wants to know the story of why Boba was shot in the dick.
But to be fair, he is wearing that robe from like the black robe that he's wearing now. So the cod piece could still be underneath, because I got the notion that he only had one knee armor on his right knee when he shoots the missile out. But at the end, when you see him sit on the throne, he has both yellow knee armor pads on his knees. So you didn't see one because of the long robe that he's wearing, the black robe.
Yeah.
So who knows? The cod piece may still be there.
Yeah, but the cod piece. Listen, I'm team cod piece right now. So
aren't we all?
I really want to write a story and pitch it to Favreau about how he got that dent in his fucking armor.
It would have to be at maybe one of those Twilight chicks he's banging, try to take something from him, and I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah, it almost writes itself of how he's in porno land over there.
You think him, instead of Bang Bus, it was like bangship.com or something
that? It was BangFit.
There we go. But listen, speaking about writing, there's an author. We just mentioned him before, Alan Dean Forster. Besides writing novelization to Episode 7 and
Splinter Mind's Eye
and the ghostwriting for the novelization of Episode 4, he went on call on an interview with, I think, Midnight's Edge. And he's saying that he had a treatment, a fix, Episode 8. Because he hated the movie, said it was a terrible movie.
So I'm pretty sure Spiro's doing backflips right now in Exegol, hearing this news.
Excited about this guy being his ally.
Yeah. He said it was a terrible film, and that itself motivated him to write the follow-up that would address some of the controversial story points in The Last Jedi. That includes we're coming up with a different explanation as to why Rey was suddenly so powerful. Powerful with the Force. Making her part droid. I don't know about that.
Oh, my God.
He also gives Luke Skywalker a different death scene than one in canon. Kind of like Luke's death scene. Again, I think it was misplaced. Wrong episode. Unfortunately for him, Abrams' The Rise of Skywalker was already in production when he finished his script, which is why Lucasfilm no longer entertained it. He said, episode 7 was out. This is him verbatim. It was done. It was a done deal. And I went and saw it. And I thought it was a... Oh, no, I'm sorry. Episode 8 was out. It was a done deal. I went and saw it. I thought it was a terrible film. Thought it was a terrible Star Wars movie. There was no need to get into why, because every fan already has. I thought, how can this be retconned? How can we fix as much as possible from 8 and proposed episode 9? And I wrote a partial treatment for that, attempting in that storyline to explain a lot of the really silly things that happened in episode 8. At the end of it, there's a big battle of Coruscant with the Emperor's clones, with an S.
Yep.
I also managed to provide proper motivation for the character that they forced Boyega to fall in love with. I give her something proper to do that justifies her character. Goosh, goosh, goosh.
At the end of the Rose Tico?
I guess so. At the end of the film, Luke is dying under a tree and Rey comes out. And Luke's last words are, on Peru, which brings the whole life, the whole thing full circle. Because that's what his first words were in the movie, right? Aunt Peru?
Yeah, that's kind of. I honestly could probably do without that. Him dying with Amberu's fucking name on his lips. That's kind of silly.
I liked episode 7 very much. I thought it set up a lot of really neat things that were never addressed in episode 8. I hated episode 8, and I thought episode 9 was good. Not great, but good. Again, I'm so sick and tired of this. People shitting on The Last Jedi. It wasn't in my opinion, it wasn't a bad movie. It just didn't talk to 7 very well. If they let Ryan Johnson do episode 9, maybe episode 8 will have more.
Would hold more connective tissue.
Yeah, but it also hold more weight with the fans. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I think a lot of the problem with the movie is just the execution.
Yeah, we've talked about this ad nauseum, and I agree with you. And who the hell knows, you know, things would have been different if he would have done 9, but there's no way in God's green earth he was going to get close to episode 9 after what happened with 8. And the fans' reaction just wasn't, it was not on the cards for poor Rian Johnson.
Nope, he's not over.
And speaking of over,
ladies and gentlemen, we do a segment on this show, if you want to call this a show, called...
A shit show?
No, it's not a shit show. It's an entertaining podcast that's off the rails 10 out of 10 times. But we do a segment on this show called Who's Moreover? Now, are you first-time listeners, or even so the some of you other listeners who don't really pay attention, I know what you might be thinking. I don't understand.
Where are the Cheetos?
Mom, the meatloaf!
Is this your place? No, 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 no. No, I live with my mom.
Oh.
Yeah. You hungry? Hey, Ma! Can we get some meatloaf?
Chaz, I think I'm okay. I had a bite right before I came over. Thank you.
You sure?
You know what? I will have some meatloaf. Let's have some meatloaf.
You want some?
Yes.
I knew you'd come. Hey, Mom! The meatloaf! We want it now! The meatloaf! What is she doing? I never know what she's doing back there.
Ma, I don't know what she's doing back there. Over is wrestling terminology. We use wrestling lingo on this podcast because guess what? I'm a pro wrestler. Doc is a doctor at most of the pro wrestling events. Spiro's a longtime wrestling fan. So there you have it. What does it mean? It means getting popular with the fans. When you're over with the fans, you're popular with them. The fans love you. They hate you. If you're a good guy, you're a babyface. You're over as a babyface. People will pay a lot of scot-all to come see you fight. To come see you kick the crap out of the villain. And if you're over as a villain with a heel, people are very anxious and very eager to come see you get your ass kicked, and they'll pay a lot of scot-all to do so. So what we do is we compare two aspects of Star Wars: person, place, thing. And we see who's more over with you. Most importantly, who's more over with us. So, Doc, what's on the marquee?
On the marquee this evening is my pick this week for who's more over. It is the IG series Assassin Droid.
No, I'm telling you to get out of here.
That was unpleasant. I'm sorry you had to see that.
Versus the newly minted, fresh off the Mandalorian, Dark Troopers.
You're about to face off with the Dark Troopers. You had your hands full with one. Let's see how you do against a platoon.
So, Doc, if you kindly do what you do best and hop on those poles.
Am I going to the poles, Papa Don?
I don't know. Are you?
So, on Facebook, on the Book of Faces, we looked at a this who's moreover question and put it up for the fans as usual. And on the Book of Faces, take a guess who won.
IG-88 and IG.
Nope, Dark Trooper murdered the IG series, 100-0 votes.
Jesus,
yeah, it's pretty bad. John Enright comments: New Force Order, Dark Trooper, better lore and tougher to kill for a regular person, and he looked pretty badass. And they fly now. Well, that was a great comment. Let's go to the Instagram and see what the deal is. So on the Jizzle, we have 55% to 45%, the Dark Trooper is over as well.
Wow.
Man, Dark Trooper coming in hot this week. Let's see. Let's see what else. Let me see if we have any comments on the Twitter. It's been an interesting week with this who's more over here. My Wi-Fi is always, as usual, you know, the greatest Wi-Fi on the planet. So let's see here. Here we go. Twitter. Mother Flower. On the Twitter poll. Do. You want to fill in any time while I talk over here? Let's see. Sure. Here we go. No. We'll all right. I got it. Hold on. I got it. Here we go. We got some comments here. Here we go. Okay. Justin Roberts. Dark Trooper is more over because it had a fight and epic. It has flight and epic strength. They had me thinking they were made out of a cheap Beskar armor. If I didn't see Luke's saber cut through them, but they had me nervous for old Mando, who's when those laser blasts were just bouncing right off of them. Frostbite BC says, badass. I like this one a lot, but did not comment. Thank you, Frostbite BC. And there is no poll on the Twitter because Twitter sucks with polls. Anyway, all right. Let's move to the email.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you can send an email regarding this segment or any other segment we do. And the email is called newforceorder@yahoo.com. Our first email comes from Blair. And it's titled OG IGs. Happy New Year, guys. IG series Assassin Droids are more over with me. They're far more entertaining. It would seem the Dark Troopers are mindless, blunt instruments, whereas the IGs are capable of complex problem solving and decision making. In my book, that degree of AI makes them far more valuable. If I had to employ one on a search, and Destroy Mission, I have a lot more confidence in the IG without a doubt. Thanks, guys, for the great year of Star Wars content. Looking forward to more in 2021. Best wishes, Blair, Silver Surfer, 78.
Taking the good, taking the bad.
2020, 2021, baby. I hope so. Next one is Bassmaster Dust, or the Bassmaster Dust, Dusty Mulholland. Who's more over? These two guys have got to be the most badass droids in Star Wars. If I had to choose one of these guys to protect me, it'd be a tough choice. You know the Dark Trooper would fuck shit up, but I could also see it accidentally killing you. They don't seem like the smartest of droids.
Yeah.
The IG model is a cold-blooded killer too, but would seem... We've seen them have a softer side. Dark Trooper over, NFO for life. Tim Gilby, the Gilbiest of Tims. Hey, NFO guys. This week I'm picking the Dark Troopers. Simple answer, I really enjoyed Zeus in Real Steel. Side note. Is Tak Machito from Galaxy Far, Far Away? Sorry, ooh, guys. I think Tak, T-A-K, Machito, M-A-S-H-I-D-O, from Galaxy Far, Far Away. Sorry, guys. I think that there are some similarities between two characters, and I like them. I like both of them. Okay, I have no idea who Tak Machito is. But, P.S., why did the droid cross the road?
Why did the droid cross the road? Don't know.
He was programmed by a chicken. NFO for life.
Oh, man, that was brutal.
Yeah, but I enjoy his jokes.
Of course I enjoy his jokes. That's because they're brutal.
Well, again, ladies and gentlemen, send your emails, newforceorder@yahoo.com. Thank you guys for all you people out there in 2020 who sent us emails. Thank you for participating in the show. We kindly appreciate it, even though we bust your chops at times, like we do with Brandon Miller's mom. It's all in good fun. There's no malicious intent. And we like the fact that not only do we bust each other's chops, but we can bust your chops too. And we can all have a good time doing it, talking about something we love, and that's his Galaxy Far, Far Away. As far as this week's battle goes, or comparison, I'm going to pick the IG series. Reason being, I think they're more capable of getting the job done. I agree with a lot of what the first email said. The Dark Troopers are just mindless drones. They're slow. I mean, granted, they're tough to kill. But so is an IG-88 or an IG-11 when they can spin 360 and they're blasting everything around. And worst case scenario, they get outdone and they're in a position where they can't win. They have that self-destruct function. So I'm going to go with the IG series. But I don't think they're the toughest droids in the Galaxy Far, Far Away. My boy R2-D2 is the toughest droid in the Galaxy Far, Far Away. The unsung hero.
Of the whole trilogy. I agree with the whole trilogy. Sure. Okay, so you're picking IG-11, the IG series.
Correct.
So, the Dark Troopers have had a very long and storied history. You know, it's non-canonical history right now, of course.
They're all revved up.
They're all revved up. Oh, Spiro, what do you think about Revan as canon, huh?
Revan is canon, because if he's not, then who's left to fucking cheer for? Who's left for the fans to love? Rose Tico, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, if you say so, bud. So they've had this, you know, long-standing history in the comics, in the novelizations of them being real, real badasses. And they had, but they had people inside of them, like Moff Gideon said. You know, so theoretically, he does make all those stories canon of the Dark Troopers, because they did have, you know, humans inside them initially, and now they're droids. Completely. And they're, you know, cold-hearted, callous droids that seem to have, you know, one on switch and pretty much no off switch until they meet a lightsaber. Their look is really cool. I mean,
yep.
They are very reminiscent of the Vader armor with the reds and the blacks and the, you know, that shiny silver that happens when the light hits them. The flying capability, I think, is awesome. They really give Mando a hard time, but clearly they cannot hold their own against a skilled lightsaber user. The IG series, as we saw in the first season of Mandalorian, has some personality imbued into them. They're more of a thinking droid, unlike the Dark Troopers, which are more of a drone-ish kind of droid where you just kind of set them and forget them. With the IGs, you can kind of, they have personality, much like C-3PO, much like R2-D2. They're more of a droid's droid than a mindless droid. They have self-destruction capabilities, which we saw, which was pretty cool. I rewatched their first episode of Mando, and I still popped when IG-11 is like, okay, initiating self-destruct. He's like, do not blow yourself up. And they went back and forth, and they had that that interaction. I almost feel like it was almost a missed opportunity to not have IG-11 be like the Mando sidekick, because I think they would have had a lot of interesting, fun conversations and moments between the two of them. So for me, I think because the capabilities that the IG-11 droid has and the personality that it has, and it's a more of a thinking droid as opposed to just a doing droid like the Dark Trooper is, I like that aspect better. But for me, the aesthetic of the Dark Trooper looks better than the cobbled together IG series droid. But it's going to be the IG series droid that's going to be over for me this week. And speaking of over, Spiro, please, my friend, tell us what your pick is for the Who's Moreover IG series versus Dark Trooper this week.
So IG-11 versus the Dark Troopers, okay. Both are over with me, but, of course, I have to choose one. The Dark Troopers were pretty badass. They reminded me a lot of Iron Man, of the Iron Legion, whatever the fuck. They served their purpose. They came across as badass. I like how Filoni and Favreau make everything mean something. It's not like other stormtroopers that come out and they, look badass and they get marketed as badass, but they end up being jobbers. No, in this case, they came across as the badass motherfuckers that they were meant to be. But IG-11, man, IG-11 was the fucking bounty hunter, assassin droid. He went from fucking wanting to kill Baby Yoda or Grogu to then becoming its fucking nanny, It was cute. It was comical, but he remained a badass while being those two other things. And of course, the way he sacrificed himself so that, Din and the others can, live on to fight another day, man. So for me, man, IG-11 is mega over.
I was very, how can I put it, inclined to think that Spiro was going to go with that choice. I kind of knew he was going to pick what he picked. So good job on you, Spiro. Doc, I think Doc kind of realized you were going to pick what you picked. You're not wrong. You're entitled to your own opinion. But I think in your old age, you're getting very, what's the right word, Doc? Very predictable.
So I was going to say soft, but okay.
I mean, he's getting predictable because of his time and his time, over in Mexico on this timeshare. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, his timeshare in Mexico.
With all those Sith who are loyalists. He's telling them what to do in order to earn their communion wafers,
No, you go.
I was gonna do who talks first. I talk first, you talk first.
So who talks first? You talk first? I talk first.
The old man gave it to you.
It's just very hard to understand you with all the
searching
apparatus.
I was gonna hit him with the old Saturday Night Fever Spiro Antonopoulos line. She's in the communal wafers, father. Anyway.
Hey father! Yes, you're Frank. Yeah, Frank. Yeah, Frank. Okay, Frank. Yeah, listen, Frank. I got a girlfriend. She's Pauline. Her name's Pauline. And
yeah. What do you mean? You get her pregnant?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. She loves the taste of communion wafers.
He delivers those wafers straight from the tip of his penis.
Oh God. So Doc.
Yes, sir.
Have you ever heard of an actress called Karen Gillian?
Karen Gillian. I actually have heard of Karen Gillian. She is the young lady who has played Nebula in Guardians of the Galaxy, and she's also played Dr. Thunder Bravestone or whatever it was. No, not Bravestone. The opposite of The Rock in Jumanji. She was the redheaded chick. It was pretty fly, actually.
Did you know which character the Disney wants her to play?
Ooh, so the rumor out there is Disney's kind of digging deep back into the bag of tricks that Star Wars has, is going to bring one of the characters that we all have hope to see in
Rebellions are built on hope.
Rebellions aren't built on hope, my friend. That we've all hoped to see in live
Rebellions
action.
Rebellions are built on hope.
We all have, we're not hoping. We were all pining to see in live action the last couple of years. And that's going to be the one redheaded hottie, a.k.a. the Emperor's Hand, a.k.a. Mara Jade.
When I saw the article, I actually thought they were, before I just read the headline, I thought they were going to say Asajj Ventress.
Really? Oh, I could see that too, actually. Because
of the whole baldness.
Yeah. Yeah, no, for sure I could see that 100%. But the second I saw that article, I was like, oh, they're going to do Mara Jade. Just because she's a redhead and that makes the most sense. But I mean, I don't know how much weight to give this story here. You know, it comes from a not so reputable source. Who knows? Maybe it's true. Maybe it's not true. But I think she would actually be a good pick for either characters because, you know, she's shown that she could play the hero in Jumanji and be good at it and do all those acrobatic hero stuff. And she also showed that she could play a ball headed badass female chick in Nebula from the Guardians and get that done as well. I think, you know, Nebula is probably one of the bright spots from the Guardians and also the last Avengers movie, because she had a really pivotal role in that movie and played it very, very well. So kudos to, you know, if this is true, and kudos to her if she's going to take that role, because I think it's a perfect, perfect role for her.
I agree. I agree with you. I could see her as Mara Jade, even though I wasn't into the EU at all. I did hear the name being thrown around in the past, Luke Skywalker's wife. I'd like to see her and then have her get killed, which leads to him becoming Grumpy Luke. But we've done said this a million times.
We done said this, kid.
Did you know that another hot chick, Daisy Ridley, had another character design for Dark Ray?
I did. I saw this. So,
Concept art leaked.
Concept art leaked. So it was more of her in these red tones that they had shown. It was very typical of that Star Wars concept stuff that we've seen from like Ralph McQuarrie, from Douglas Chang, who was in that episode of Gallery, by the way, which I thought was cool when they were talking about the Krayt Dragon. She looked a little more menacing. The outfit was not really flowing robes. It was more like almost like Kylo's under outfit that he has, but in red as opposed to in black, the way he wears it.
Very kind of dark Phoenix looking.
Exactly. That's what they talked about. It. We had those sleeves that kind of, you know, furrowed out at the bottom and looked kind of similar. You know, the whole Dark Ray thing.
Ray!
Thank you. I was waiting for that. Is, you know, was it shoehorned in there to give us a glimpse of what she potentially could be, give her a glimpse of what she could potentially be? You know, we all had surmised that if it was going to have more of a part in the story versus just the literally two second Force vision that she had seen. And we talked about that going into Rise of Skywalker to see what it was going to be. So was it in the story they gave us? I don't think it was a wasted opportunity, but I think if they would have altered the story a little bit, there could have been a larger role for Dark Rey to play. And I think that would have potentially made Rise of Skywalker a little bit better. Despite all that fact, she's still getting a toy made of that, so which is amazing. But that's already out, by the way, in certain markets, which I still have yet to find.
Did you? What'd you get from Mando Monday this week?
Man, they don't think they announced anything from Mando Monday this week.
Gotcha.
Yeah, yesterday was Monday, right? I don't think they did. No, last week was the Darksaber. They talked about that, and the new Boba Fett helmet, but I don't think they mentioned anything this week. Though they are releasing, which we never talked about, that Mando's pulse rifle as a Nerf gun, and they're making like orders, orders to order. So if you don't order
66 of them,
yeah, 66 of them. So if you don't order them now, you won't be able to purchase it afterwards because it's like a limited kind of thing. They're only making a certain amount of ones. It's $150. It lights up. It plays the sounds from the show. Unfortunately, every gun that has to get,
Buy one?
I did not buy one. I thought about it and I'm like, I'm really not a Nerf guy. The thing is over 4 feet fucking long. It's like 4.5 feet long. What am I going to do with this fucking thing?
You wish your wife said that about you?
Yeah, exactly. Where am I going to stick this thing? I said everywhere, baby. The only way that I would see that I would have purchased one, I still have time because I think we have like 3 or 4 more days to order it before it goes out, is if I was doing a Mando cosplay and I needed the gun, but I would have to repaint the whole thing and get it, you know, screen accurate, because much like every gun that's released in the United States of America that is targeted for children, you have to have a yellow or orange tip on it. You have to have it not looking in so much actual gun colors. They have to change the colors. This is why we can't get a decent re-release of Megatron in the States because in his gun form, because they will not, you know, regulations will not let us do that in the United States of America.
I can see you painting that gun up and doing a cosplay and having your wife dress up as Cara Dune.
Wow, then, that's almost insulting to her ass.
Whose ass?
Sharon's ass.
Why?
Because it's not as big as Cara Dune's.
That's all right. Your wife's not as big as Cara Dune overall. She don't have that much muscle or grandma, you know, bingo arms like Cara Dune has right now. Hey, dress up the little one as Grogu. Dress up your other son, your oldest son, as either Boba Fett, and the other one, and your other son, as Carl Weathers.
That would be funny. The little white one is Carl Weathers.
Or make him the blue guy.
Make him a Quill.
Quill. There you go. That'd, you know what I mean? So, anyhow.
My daughter would absolutely love being Baby Yoda. She pops her Baby Yoda every time she sees him.
Nice. How about your grandmother? Does she like Baby Yoda?
My grandmother? I think if my grandmother was aware of Baby Yoda, she would probably like Baby Yoda.
Wait a minute. Your grandmother loves. I mean, she just chomps at the bit before her dentures fall out for Mr. Giancarlo Esposito.
Oh, well, she loves that guy, but I don't know if she knows Baby Yoda. Speaking of Giancarlo Esposito, he had a lot of things to talk about his portrayal of Moff Gideon this week.
I think we should insert the video. It's a 2-minute video.
Insert video now.
Hi, I'm Giancarlo Esposito, and I play Moff Gideon, Mandalorian. I've been a very big fan of the early Star Wars movies and the world in which they exist. I was head over heels when I was asked to do this show by Jon Favreau. I always was fascinated by Darth Vader. I thought that inside of that very, very hard, coarse exterior could be a human being that had the ability to bring some life to our space odyssey and our galaxy. I was strongly affected by Peter Cushing, who also played a Moff many, many years ago, and tried to do some research because I knew the fans knew a whole lot more than I did about Star Wars on my first day of shooting. I came down in a TIE fighter and I landed, and then I'm ushered into what is a standoff with 300 stormtroopers. And all I can think in my brain is, I'm Moff Gideon. I don't have to do or say much to get what I want because I'm going to get it. And so that standoff was the beginning of me finding the balance of who this character is. For me, as an actor, I have to reflect the images that I see and feel that aren't really in front of me, so that you can see this world reflected through my vision, and you get a true sense of that. You see something else as it's all built and put together, but it has to start somewhere. The kernel, the seed, has to start somewhere inside of Moff Gideon. This is a series that empowers people to be who they are. We are in a different world. And more than any time ever in history do our young people need to be empowered to think about the effect that they personally can have on our world. And Star Wars really focuses that effect and allows them to dream, allows them to be in wonder, and creates a sense of empowerment surrounding being a hero. I'm Giancarlo Esposito. Check out The Mandalorian, now streaming on Disney Plus.
Yep. So, you know, you heard it from the horse's mouth himself, and what, what his inspiration was from Moff Gideon and how absolutely violently excited he was that he was able to play a Star Wars villain on the screen. And you know, his motivation and how he felt on set when he was standing there with 300 stormtroopers, that he really didn't have to say much because, bitch, I'm Moff Gideon, which I thought was pretty awesome. The other thing I thought was pretty awesome was that there's this theory rolling around, speaking of Moff Gideon, that...
Hold on, did you know Giancarlo Esposito was in Trading Places?
Was he? No, I didn't know that.
He was in the jails with Eddie Murphy. Go back and see it. A young Giancarlo Esposito, all skinnied and you wet behind the ears. It's hilarious, dude.
He's been around the block, this guy, man.
Yeah, man. He's what do you call it? He's a master of his craft. He's a great actor.
He's a master thespian.
Sure.
Speaking about master thespian, talking about him, so someone had speculated that he may not be just a Vader fanboy wearing that armor, that he actually may need that armor like Vader does as life support because of a potential battle he may have had in the past. Now, stay with me, Pop, because this kind of makes sense. So the speculation is that he was in a battle with a Jedi. We don't know which Jedi. Maybe it was Luke Skywalker. Who knows? And that he was run through a la Qui-Gon Jinn style with a lightsaber and now requires the suit to support his life and keep him alive like it did Vader. And they're also speculating that this is the reason why we see him on the bridge of his ship where he's captured, you know, by the crew, and they're awaiting the dark troopers to enter the bridge. And he looks calm, cool, collected. He's like, yeah, whatever. And then all of a sudden they see the lone X-Wing and you start to see him kind of sweat a little bit. And then you see him watching the monitor and then he just totally freaks the fuck out about the fact that there's a Jedi on board. And then attempts to do the unthinkable and put the blaster underneath his chin and pull himself out Kurt Cobain style, and then gets proceeded to be knocked out by Cara Dune because he's does not want to be facing any Jedi any longer. So it kind of made sense when they talked about it, and it's from a certain point of view it's a very interesting idea and topic, and I really hope they actually go down that pathway and explore it because the setup is all there.
See, when you speculate like this, not you, but the person who came up with this theory, it's so responsibly done that it's a beautiful piece of master. It's beautiful. It's a piece of it's a masterpiece. It's a work of art because he took all these pieces in the puzzle, made his own story from it, and it's viable. It makes sense. Now, him getting sliced and diced with a saber and him needing to breathe with that machine could be the case. I could see it happening, but then we don't hear him breathing heavy like a Vader or like a, what's his name, Saw Gerrera, when he needs to breathe, when he has that mask, that oxygen mask, that's a magnetic oxygen mask onto the armor. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that's the case. I mean, it could be armor. Maybe he has damaged lungs, you know, something, force choke or force crush or something, you know, yep. like what's his name? Mace Windu did to General Grievous. And that's why he had the cough in episode 3. Who knows? I like it. I'll buy it. I'll allow it. You know what I'm saying?
I'll buy that for a dollar.
You've bought it a lot worse for a dollar, brother.
Yeah.
So have I. I'm not going to deny it. But you said something from a certain point of view. We do a segment on the show called From a Certain Point of View. Now, I don't do justice introducing the segment. I like the way Doc does it. So, Doc, please introduce the segment.
So on this segment of the NFO called From a Certain Point of View, we take
A scene from Star Wars, a line from Star Wars, emotion, a relationship, a move, something subtle maybe, that at one point meant something to you, to the masses when we watched it. But as other things come to light, as other information comes through, as we think about it a little bit more and ponder on that specific thing, you may mean something different from a certain point of view.
So do you have a topic to talk about? Because
I do not have a topic to talk about. As usual, I've come in with the bare minimum for the week, and here I am.
All right, I'm going to share something with you on the group chat.
So you the have group chat. Fans, if you pay us $5 a month, we will add you to the group chat so you can see what the NFO talks about. How about that? Anybody out there?
$5.
Get five out bucks. Of That's all I need. $5.
$20.
$20 a month. You can be added to the group chat.
So, anyhow, I just sent you the clip so you don't have to go fishing for it.
Thank Jesus. All right, let me see here.
No, I'm Greek God, but, you know, same difference. So, last episode of Mandalorian, when Luke's talking about Grogu, and he says, talent without training is nothing. Now that...
Wait, would you like me to play it? Hold on, live on the show? Hold on.
Here well, we go. Insert the clip. It'll sound better. Talent.
He is strong with the Force. But talent without training is nothing.
What the hell was that about?
So, talent without training is nothing. Mm. So a lot of people have speculated that this was a jab at JJ, Ryan, Kathleen Kennedy, with the whole Super Ray in the sequel trilogy, because she was so powerful yet had no training. Other people, like myself, look at it from a different point of view. I'm saying he said this from life experience. And what do I mean? Talent without training. He trained on Dagobah for I don't know how long, because we don't know how long time moves on that planet. But he never finished his training. He went off to go save his friends. He had the talent. He didn't have the training. And what happened? He goes to Bespin, confronts Darth Vader, tries to save his friends, doesn't get there in time. Han gets carbonited, right? Gets his hand chopped off, gets his ass kicked, finds out that Vader's his father, which totally mentally scarred him for life, right? Until he turned that frown upside down. So, I am thinking he said that line in retrospect with his own life experience being the teacher and him portraying that line because of his life experience and not as a jab at Kathleen Kennedy in the sequel trilogy and Super Ray Palpatine / Skywalker. So, what about you, Doc?
So, like you said, you could look at it from many different things. You know, obviously, he's speaking to the Mandalorian about Baby Yoda, about Grogu, and saying, like, you know, yeah, he's talented, but without training, it's nothing. So,
or here's another one.
Yeah.
What if he's talking about not only Baby Yoda, or maybe he senses that Din Djarin has the Force in him?
Well, we're going about the Force in Din Djarin, eh?
I'm just saying. I don't believe he's Force sensitive. But he would be the first one since Tar Vizsla to be a Jedi. So whatever. But that was like hundreds and hundreds of years previous to where we are at today in the timeline with Mandalorian. So it wouldn't be a bad idea, you know? But anyway, go on.
So is this a jab at JJ and Ryan Johnson and Kathleen Kennedy? Man, if there's that much backstage politicking going on, which, you know, as you and I both know, there's always plenty of backstage politicking going on in any field. That is
that is beyond the jab. That is a fucking Mike Tyson uppercut right there, because they are just giving it to Kathleen Kennedy and to the rest of the crew about the fact that Rey was so powerful in the Force without really having any training at all. As opposed to him speaking about himself. Yeah, he was trained. He did run off on the rescue mission for his friends and didn't get fucked up. And is it his life lesson that he's trying to give them, or is this, oh man, you know what? I think I didn't pick up on this at all, by the way. I didn't even pick up on the line at all when he said it. So it's good that you mentioned this one. I think it's probably a little bit of both. I think it's really clever writing, not clever editing, but clever writing on the part of Favreau and Filoni to have a callback to Luke's training and what he did and did not do in Empire Strikes Back. But it's also a subtle jab at Rey,
right,
and the sequel trilogy crew. So kudos to them for actually doing that if they did.
Now you get the gist of the whole McClunky thing that I see in the lights out. Because afterwards, because when you're talking, you see Dave Filoni point to Favreau like this. Like, hey, look, you gotta look, because it's a visual. Yeah, he's like, you know, you know, in a little inside baseball. So, anyway, but that's what I feel. I feel it's more life experience than a stab. And if it is a stab, it's well hidden, and it can always be played off very, very masterfully, because we just played it off if it really was a jab. Very, very eloquently as well. But Spiro, what do you think? Do you think this is a jab at your homegirl and your WCW Kathleen Kennedy, or your MCM Rian Johnson? Or do you think this is clever editing to where Luke is talking from his own personal life experience and not finishing training and getting his ass kicked because of it, no matter how much talent he had?
Cat K and Goro Large are looking kind of hungry. Matter of fact, they look like they're starving. That's okay. The Dark One's got you covered. I'm going to serve you a nice big dish. My specialty, guys, okay? A big bag of dicks. Eat them up.
There you have it, folks.
Shocking.
Yeah, right? There you have it. The Dark Lord has spoken.
Didn't see that coming.
No, that's what she said. More news has come out over the week. There's a show being done that we've spoken about in the past. That was also mentioned on the investor call from Disney and Lucasfilm, called The Acolyte, which is going to be
Leslie Headland.
Leslie Headland's masterpiece. Or she's going to be the showrunner. It's going to be set in the final days of the High Republic, set to be anywhere between 100 to 82 years before the Battle of Yavin, which is also 68 to 50 years before the Battle of Naboo. Today, a small update was provided as Rain Roberts, Lucasfilm's vice president of film development, who helped produce Rogue One, Solo, Rebels, and the sequel trilogy, is listed as co-developing the new series with Headland. Some fans have noticed an update to Roberts' page, pointing out that her profile was updated with her involvement in the development of The Acolyte. It's notable that this is the only show that she's working on at this time. She's also working on future Star Wars films, which is, as of right now, include the likes of Star Wars Rogue Squadron from director Patty Jenkins. Who shit the bed with Wonder Woman 84, in my opinion.
God, it was so fucking terrible.
Director Feige produced film, a film directed by J.D. Dillard and written by Matt Owens and Rian Johnson's trilogy. Notably, the Feige, Dillard, Owens, and Johnson projects were not mentioned in the presentation where The Acolyte was formally announced, indicating that those projects are either far off in terms of release dates or stagnant in terms of development progress. Little is known beyond the Headland's Acolyte show, except that it's female-centric and focused on telling a story about the dark side of the Force. The High Republic era, which this show is set at the end of, was initially announced as a beginning as being a predominantly publishing-based initiative for Lucasfilm, but now it appears as though the era is fair game to other mediums. Thank God. With this in mind, it seems more like The Acolyte will serve as a prequel to the prequel trilogy, more than a tie-in to the High Republic line, since the first wave of those stories seem to be set hundreds of years before A New Hope. Though the nature of the dark side-focused narrative is likely to help play into the context of setting up the end of the era and the eventual downfall of the Galactic Republic, as such, there's already speculation as to what prequel trilogy characters could appear in the series alongside the show's female lead. So what do you have to say about that, Doc?
Listen, I think this is probably going to be a Shivi Palps thing. That's what I'm guessing. I don't know if it's going to tie directly into the whole Darth Plagueis thing. And I don't know how they're going to shoehorn this female lead into this. Who the hell knows? But to me, it seems that that would probably be the, if they're going to put anybody from the prequel trilogy inside there, it'll be Shivi Palps.
Do you think this will be a setup?
For?
Like with Darth Plagueis?
I hope so. I think this is the, you know, that makes the most sense. You know, the Acolyte in itself is inherently going to lead to someone who is following somebody else, some, either blindly or not blindly. A master apprentice somewhere along that line. Someone who's,
do you think the Acolyte could be do you think the Acolyte, since it's female centric, do you think it'd be Darth Talon?
That would be interesting. I don't know. You know, I think there's a lot of things to explore. And if this is a Plagueis thing, how that's going to play into that with this whole female centric role. I mean, Talon would make sense if they want to piggyback on the whole George Lucas thing and bring a really visually exciting character into the mix. Who knows? I don't know. All I know is I hope that, you know, that the fact that the character is female isn't what is the driving force of this whole thing, but the rather the story should be the driving force of the whole thing.
Absolutely agree with you 100%. The fact that we're still focusing on movies being made by women as a selling point, I think, in my opinion, hinders certain projects and drives people away, because then they end up going to the premiere or watching the movie with not a clean slate. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
But Lucasfilm is also in talks that they're moving to the dark side, maybe making a new Order 66 film. Did you hear about this?
I did not, no.
I think Spiro is gushing all over Exegol right now reading this article. Nah, I'm just kidding. You know Spiro doesn't read the articles. It looks as though Lucasfilm's next batch of films could take viewers to the dark side of the Force, as the studio may currently develop a new dark live-action film based on solely on Order 66. In case you aren't familiar with Order 66, also referred to as Clone Protocol 66, that's when the top secret initiative that marked all Jedi traitors in the Galactic Republic, and they were killed off by the clones, yada, 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 yada. According to Wikipedia, the Order was programmed into the Grand Army clone troopers through behavioral modification biochips implanted in their brains. The rumor states that Lucasfilm is currently in the very early stages of developing the live-action Star Wars movies based on Order 66, which most likely be a much of darker story than the past Star Wars films. Although Order 66 was intended to wipe out the Jedi, there were a few survivors, including Obi-Wan, Yoda, Ahsoka Tano, and if we're recently learned, thanks to The Mandalorian, Grogu. We also have Cal Kestis and other people. So this time it's solely a rumor, but Inside the Magic, that's the place that InsideTheMagic.net will continue to update you as we get information of the possible movie. Do you really think an Order 66 movie is needed?
Needed, no, but wanting to be seen by me, absolutely. Let's purge these motherfucking Jedis, baby.
Yeah, but
I would love it.
Do you think it would be better as a film or as a series?
Either way, it's fine. Would a series be better? Yeah, but how bored are we going to be for them hunting down a zillion different Jedis? Let's make it a specific era, a specific time period. Let's have some clones getting out there, really wrecking shop and destroying shit and tracking them down. Either way you give it to me, I'll be happy.
Would you like to see it in animation?
I think live action would be a little more adept to this, but I will take it however I can get it, much like I do every night of the week.
You know, Robert Rodriguez recently made a whole movie with his kids.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Oh, that's gross.
He revealed, Robert Rodriguez, on the gallery that he used Star Wars toys to plan Boba Fett's big action scene before filming the real thing.
I do the same thing.
But he got paid to do it, Doc.
Yeah, son of a bitch.
He has broken the Matrix code and he's making money doing it. I love the fact he's such a mark.
He's Boba 100% Fett. Mark. That's the great. And the fact that he's doing the series is even better.
You know, he had his sons dressed up in Halloween costumes and used the action figures to play out the fight scenes. Because he said he had like a three-page fight scene, and he turned it into like a 9-minute fight scene from all the cues and visuals he had.
Yep.
I said it right here. Here's his quote. I ended up turning a 3-page battle scene into a 9-minute battle scene because I was just that excited to bring Boba Fett back. I told John, I've been waiting to see this version of Boba Fett since I was a kid. Boba has to be different. He can't just seem like any other Mando. He has to move differently, feel different, occupy a complete different space, have a weight and a gravitas to him that shows why he's such a legend. I wanted him to live up to his name that he would whisper since we were kids and be that mysterious character with a past that makes you want to know more about him. If Mando is a gunslinger, then Boba needs to be a barbarian. It needs to satisfy. I don't want to take it for granted that he'll show up later in other episodes. He needs to be all things right here, right now. That's what Boba Fett's all about. This episode needs to say Boba is back. That was my personal mission.
And guess what?
He hit the nail right on the head.
Mission accomplished.
That was better than me hitting the nail on the head. Good reference, Doc. But I actually love the fact that he put his heart, soul, blood, sweat, and tears into this episode. One of my favorite episodes.
As we've seen already with Mando, you know, if you're a true fan and you bring that fandom and you bring that love and you bring that knowledge that you have of the series and want to not just fan service, but do the property justice, this is what it's about. This is the way, and this is what's going to propel the thing that you're working on to where you need it to be. It's not pushing your agenda politics. It's not doing shit that you want to do on it. It's really, really, really being true to the source material and giving a story that makes sense, is good, and will make you want to come back for more and leave you in fucking tears like we've seen before. So kudos to these guys for really kicking ass on this.
Did you know there's over 120
Speaking
hours?
Speaking of over.
Nice. 120 hours of Star Wars stories on Disney Plus right now?
That's a lot of fucking hours, man.
That's 5 days straight of Star Wars.
Without getting up to take a piss either.
How great is that?
That's the best. And the new timeline is out now about it, right?
Yeah. Should we go through the timeline or not?
Nah, I think the timeline is self-explanatory. Listen, anybody listening to this show is going to know how everything fits into the works of things. And I can tell people how big of a Star Wars fan they are by the questions they ask. You know, I had posted about The Mandalorian on my wall when we watched the last episode. And someone was like, yeah, it was a good episode, but it doesn't really make sense, you know, timing-wise. I'm like, what are you talking about timing-wise? Of course it makes perfect sense. You know, you clearly have no idea what timeline The Mandalorian takes place in. I think people are assuming that it takes place along the same line as the Disney trilogy, but yeah, clearly it doesn't. You know, we're sitting a couple of years after Return of the Jedi, so this is the reason why Luke's able to make that appearance that he does and in that form that he is in. So timeline makes sense, you know, if you have a problem, if you have an issue seeing where it's at or understanding where it is, then, you know, go to the article, figure it out. But it really hasn't changed that much since the last couple of years. So
same shit. Speaking of same shit, the face that runs the place, Darth Vader, still relevant in Star Wars, even though he's not around, basically, because he died in episode 6. Spoiler alert. Have you gotten the latest episode of Darth Vader number 7, Doc?
I did not get the latest issue of Darth Vader number 7. If I did, I'd be wholly behind on it because it'll be sitting in my box and not moving to where it needs to be to be read.
Well, then I'm not going to ruin it for you. It's a badass episode.
Feel free to ruin it. Go ahead. Come on, let's get some
content. Nah.
I'm not going to read it for another 5 more years, probably.
All right. Well, you know, he's dropped on Mustafar by a pissed off
Sheevy Palps
as he crushed all his robotic limbs. He left him there, says he needs to fight his way back to get that angriness and hate back. Because
without a lightsaber and without the Force, right?
Correct. So basically, this whole episode or this whole, sorry, issue. Has him on Mustafar, and Palpatine threatened to kill him if he uses the Force. And Oki, the Jedi killer from episode 9, took his lightsaber in battle, so he relies on other skills while he's on Mustafar. He ends up building up new limbs for himself using some parts. He withstands lava that spark roaches spit at him. He beats lava fleas down with his robotic arm.
He's fighting fleas or roaches? Damn, Darth Vader's fucking.
He's in the projects down in East Harlem. He even uses lava fleas hide to kill a rancor-like creature. So they just show him using his, you know, awareness and his skills being a badass without the bells and whistles, which I thought was cool. Again, is it filler? Yeah. Do we need it? Not really. Do we take it? Absolutely. Because what's better than Star Wars, Doc?
More fucking Star Wars, baby.
And speaking about more Star Wars, I'm hyped for Andor now after that sizzle reel that they showed us. Did you watch it?
Yeah, I did watch the sizzle reel. It looks really good, man. I'm excited.
It feels like Rogue One. And there was an article saying every Star Wars character that should be in casting the Andor show. They say the Ghost Crew should be on the show. What do you think?
Yeah, they're in the time frame. I think maybe one or two members should pop up, but you want the whole crew?
What about Alexander Kallus, Agent Kallus?
Great villain from the Clone Wars. I mean, sorry, from Rebels.
But by that time, he's on the Rebel side.
Yes. So I don't think it makes much sense to bring him in at that point if he's turned at that point.
Grand Inquisitor?
Yes, please. More Grand Inquisitor, especially in live action. I would love that.
AR-5. Steven Stanton can do the voice.
Well, let's give our boy some money. Absolutely.
Nice. Jun Sato.
Jun Kasai? We're going to have a death match? Sato. We're going to have a death match with Cassian Andor?
No, Sato, the guy who's...
The suplex guy? Sato? Oh, yeah, no.
Don Saito, dude. The guy
Master Saito?
Yes.
I just love that
guy. The guy who's running this ship, the Asian guy.
The Asian guy. Yeah, whatever. Sure, he can get a little cameo in there. Why not?
How about Asmorrigan?
Asmorrigan? Who's that, from Darkstalkers?
The
Big Fat Crime Boss guy? Yeah, sure. Bring him in.
I don't know how we can incorporate him into... Is there anyone else you want to see?
It'll be a fucking puppet. Who else? Well, we know we're going to get Mon Mothma. That's clear. Jimmy Smith would be actually really good. I think that he should be in this, you know, far and away above anybody else. I think he should have a recurring role because I think it'd be cool. I think, yeah, dude, do we want to bring in Leia in this?
Man, I was just about to say, young Leia.
It's a crazy sell, man. I mean,
Bobby, what's her name? She play her.
Yeah, her daughter.
Because this is like 5 years before Rogue One, right?
Billy Lord. Yeah,
not Billy Lord. The one who played 11 in Stranger Things.
Oh yeah, no, yeah. What's her name? 11. Yes. Billy Ray Cyrus.
Billy Ray Cyrus. Hey, keep breaking heart.
Molly. She has like the double name.
Isn't it Bobby something or other?
Bobby Miley Brown. Millie Bobby Brown. Oh, there we go.
There we go.
I knew it was Bobby Brown.
Prerogative.
I knew it was Bobby Brown.
Do what I want to do.
How is he still alive and fucking what uses is dead?
I don't know.
Yeah, we saw those mock-ups a couple of months ago with her as Princess Leia dressed in the outfit. She looked really great. I think she would do an awesome job if she was actually there. So, Obi-Wan Kenobi is also on the table too. And a young Luke Skywalker, right? No. Yes.
No, I think they're going to save that for the Kenobi series.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to deal with that one. But it's on the table. Who else? I would not want to see Boba Fett.
No bounty hunters? You have to see some bounty hunters.
Yeah, I guess that.
Bosk?
Yeah, that would be good. I would like to see them go to Kamino to do something with the cloning stuff over there. Maybe there's like a mission where they're trying to prevent any more clones from getting made because, you know, we still didn't get a really good answer as to when they decommissioned the clones to start the Stormtrooper initiative.
I guarantee you that would be the Bad Batch.
You think so?
Yeah. Maybe the Bad Batch goes and they blow up the place.
I think that would be a good place for at least one of those series to explore because that's a chunk that we need, not these chunks that we're getting that we really don't need.
Like Truffle Shuffle Chunk?
Truffle Shuffle Chunk. I think Grand Moff Tarkin would be Grand Moff Tarkin.
Who's Moff Tarkin?
Grand Moff Tarkin? Moff? Moff?
Yes.
Moff?
Yes, yes.
I think that's also another one that's in
Krennic?
There. Krennic is also on the table. Yep. But he can't interact with Andor because then they would, you know, at that point know each other. So.
Well, did they interact? They didn't interact in
They did at the end, yeah, when they were shooting each other. Which doesn't really matter that much, I guess. But
you know who I'd like to see?
Yoda? No.
Hondo.
Hondo and Naka, yeah, that would be good.
Live action Hondo and Naka.
They just have to make it look not corny because that suit that the dude runs around at Galaxy's Edge looks a little corny.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, they'll find a way.
Yeah. They'll figure it out.
But they did say, what, like 200 extras or something like that? Or 200 creatures, 600 extras, some crazy numbers.
This is going to be a Star Wars show, that's for sure.
And Tim Gellaray has the pen, so he's doing it right. So
I'm excited.
And I can't not hide it.
I'm going to do the Jesse Spano.
Pop.
Tonight?
Come on.
Wait, what am I going to wear?
Jesse, remember? Lisa's bringing your costume.
Right, I got to wash my hair.
No, there's no time.
No time. There's never any time. I don't have time to study. I'll never get into Stanford. I'll let everyone down. I'm so confused.
Jesse, hey, just calm down. It's okay.
You're right.
It's okay.
Everything will be okay.
Yeah.
I just need one of these.
Pills? You mean you really are taking drugs?
I need them.
Jesse, give me those.
I need them, Zach. I have to sing.
Jesse, you can't sing tonight.
Yes, I can. I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I'm so scared.
Jesse.
Have you seen the Saved by the Bell thing on Peacock?
No.
Do you have Peacock?
No.
Why, you didn't drink enough today?
I don't have anything. Anything that involves we're cocking it.
Oh, we'll leave all the cock for Big Ray.
Yeah.
Anyway, let them know where they can find you at, Doc.
You can find me at Dr. DR _ Destroyo, DESTRROYO on Instagram, Alex Arroyo on Facebook, Alex Arroyo M to the Dizzle on Twitter.
Spiro, while you're in the witness protection program on Exegol, let them know where they can find you at.
You can find me God knows where the fuck, aside from work these days. But check out the Rational Rage Network. There's other guys doing things there. You got wrestling shows, you got fucking Doomsday Prepper shows, you got cryptid shows, and I think that we're about to have some fucking video game geek show guy come on. I don't know, man, but hopefully I'll get up and I'll do something. I'll fucking piss some people off, and that's it, man. You know,
you could find me at Greek God Papadon on Twitter and Instagram, Demetrius Papadon on Facebook. And if you do listen to the show and you send me a Facebook request, send me a message. Let me know that you're a listener. This way I'll accept the friend request. There's only so many spots left. I think I have maybe like 5 spots or 10 spots left before I hit that 5,000 mark again. And I got a clean house to make room. So,
wow, look at this guy.
Anyhow, I'm not trying to be a big shot here, but.
But he's a big shot.
But I'm a pretty big deal. I got action figures of me. The YouTube channel is Greek Guy Papadon. You can see matches, promos on there. The Pro Wrestling Tee store is ProWrestlingTee.com/GreekGodPapadon. Go buy yourself your GGP t-shirt needs. They have some of the best designs that were designed by Spiro and Doc himself. So go look cool in the new year in 2021. And with that being said, you can find all of us together collectively at NFO_podcast on Twitter, New Force Order on Instagram, Official New Force Order on Facebook, and the email address is newforceorder@yahoo.com. Thank you for giving us your time and your ears. And if this ever makes YouTube your eyes, hopefully we entertain you. We made you laugh. We smartened you up a little bit, and we enlightened you with all these new news and all this geek intellect about a galaxy far, far away that Doc and I and Spiro possess. It's been a fun 2020 doing this. Unfortunately, 2020 has been a shit show. A very bad year for a lot of people, but The Mandalorian and Star Wars has been a highlight for many, including the three of us. Hopefully it has been for you, and you found some solace in a galaxy far, far away. We thank you for giving us your time and letting us entertain you for this year. We wish all of you guys a happy, healthy new year. May 2021 be a better year for each and every one of us. And 2021 be another great year for Star Wars. And with that being said, this episode has been brought to you by the New Force Order. Spiro
for life.
And that's just too sweet.
I can't even follow that. You popped me, you prick.
Henceforth, execute order NFO.
I know this planet, I know these suns, I know this desert we both come from. I was the chosen one. Are you the chosen one? And I could fix anything and fly anything straight right out of here. It's easier said than done. When you're this young, my ambition won't wait, and I'm certain that you can relate. 'Cause I am your father, and I rule this galaxy. I am your father, and you could come join me. Obi-Wan never told you, but search your feelings, Luke, it's true. I am your father, I'm your father, I'm your father. And now I know your training, I did the same thing, so pay attention now. This is your destiny, you're just like me. Indeed you are as powerful as the Emperor has foreseen. The Force is strong in our family. It's pointless to resist, the dark side will pull you in. And I am your father, and I rule this galaxy. See, I am your father, and you could come join me. Obi-Wan never told you, search your feelings, Luke, it's true. I am your father, I'm your father, I'm your father. I rule this galaxy. I am your
father. I'm your father.
Come join me.
I am your father.
I'm your father. And I rule this galaxy. I am your father. And you could come join me. Obi-Wan never told you. Search your feelings, Luke. It's true. I am your father. I'm your father.